A Healthier Michigan from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. Our topic today, celebrating the holidays safely. Dr. William Beecroft joins us. He is Medical Director of Behavioral Health at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. There actually is research out there, I guess, that talks about excessive alcohol and substance abuse, the use of it in winter months. Is it different from other times of the year, Dr. Beecroft?
Yes and no. You know, the same effect is there. Alcohol is alcohol, and it will have the same kind of effects. The difficulty or the difference in the winter is that, especially if you're outside, you're not circulating blood into your hands and legs as much, so it's more in the central part of your body and in your brain. So the alcohol gets concentrated a bit more. So the effect may be somewhat more than what you would have in the summertime, where it's more widely distributed and it doesn't get metabolized as quickly either in the winter. So a little bit of difference, but not much.
Oh, that is really interesting. So let's talk a little bit about how alcohol actually impacts our body in the short and long term. Tell us a little bit about the process of what is going on.
Sure. In the short term, obviously, you get intoxicated, you get a little bit less, more impulsive, you get a little less socially restricted. So you say things and do things that you would not normally do, which can, in some respects, help you to kind of come out of your shell and be a little bit more social. But when taken too far, that can get yourself into significant trouble on a long-term basis, such as impulsively do things that you would not normally do. Being able to be not as careful around other people, so coughing or maybe catching a cold or a COVID or a flu or something else, because you're not taking care of usual precautions and distance away from others, those sorts of things. Your gastrointestinal tract can get more irritated on a short-term basis. You can get acid reflux and that sort of thing from alcohol use. And also your stomach doesn't move food along as quickly, so you can get full really quick, those sorts of things. But you tend to have kind of minor things. On a long-term basis, though, if you're using alcohol excessively, for men, more than two drinks a day every day. For women, the standard is one drink a day, standard drink every day. Over a period of years, you can get into difficulty with pancreatitis, with all kinds of other problems with your liver, and your risk for cancers is higher, these sorts of things. So there's long-term side effects is what I'm getting to as well.
And isn't dementia also a byproduct of that if you drink alcohol excessively? Isn't there a connection with dementia as well, given what it does to the brain?
Yeah, it's not only what it does to the brain, but also the consequences. What's good for your heart is good for your brain. And drinking too much alcohol on a long-term basis is not good for your heart nor your brain. Also, the dementia that you refer to can be because of lack of vitamin B complex. And people that drink tend not to eat as much. They don't get as hungry. They tend not to eat a variety of different foods. So they don't get the vitamins that they need. And consequently, your body can't absorb or metabolize food in a normal process. And your brain gets starved for some of these essential vitamins that you need. And that's what causes the underlying dementia that people can have with that. But also, you know, it can also lead to hypertension, which, you know, then causes strokes, which then cause dementia because of where the damage is in the brain. So it's all related. It is all related.
Let's talk a little bit about driving when drinking. Dr. Beecroft, I have a very simple rule for myself, and I started this many, many years ago. If I drink, I do not drive. I just don't want to have to worry that what level I am impaired. And so I leave the driving to those who aren't drinking, or I'm usually the one that's driving people who are drinking. And it's worked for me. However, there are people who still drive after drinking. Let's talk a little bit about the impact of that.
Well, it was an NPR article several years ago now that was talking about the people you put at risk when you are driving solo. So that's not including people in your car, if you had other people in your car as well that you were driving intoxicated. And intoxicated not only with alcohol, but cannabis or other substances, it all kind of comes to the same thing. Your reactions are slower. You don't have good judgment. That yellow light seems to be long enough that I can scoot my way through it. Well, you end up T-boning somebody. But you take 9 other people at risk driving in traffic where there are other people around you. That's the average people at risk around you in the vehicle. So when you look at it, it's not just you that you're taking at risk, but you're taking the 8-year-old child in the car next door that's going to grandma's house or whatever is going to happen. It's not just you. So it is a significant issue. And there was 4,500 people that have died in December each since 1917 or 2017 through 2021. So each December, there's about 1,000 people that have died through that period in December, which is, you know, you have Thanksgiving in there as well. That's in November. But, you know, that month-ish kind of time frame, pretty dangerous period of time. And in Michigan, you've got a lot of other risks on the road in general with ice and snow and slippery roads, that kind of thing.
Wow, 1,000 a year because of that, just in that month. Amazing, due to drunk driving and all because someone made a bad decision. And you mentioned cannabis or marijuana. It's illegal at the federal level, but here in Michigan, we have legalized cannabis for recreational use, Dr. So how do we rectify that? I mean, it's a little different. You cannot get behind the wheel of a car to drive if you've had any marijuana, I believe, right?
I'm not sure what the blood alcohol, blood marijuana or cannabis level is. So that's my fault for not knowing. But it is something that if you're intoxicated with cannabis, it doesn't make any difference. You're still intoxicated. You're driving under the influence. And you're a danger to yourself and others, and it's illegal. So even though the drug itself is legal, the use of the drug behind the wheel is not.
Right. And I'm fairly certain you can't have any in your system when you're driving. So, you know, whether it's marijuana or alcohol, I mean, these are such a detriment to society when it comes to, you know, driving. I think by following my advice and what I do in my own life, you're just safe, not sorry, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, you can't bring people back once they're dead.
Yeah.
And that's the bad outcome. Even though you can think your way out of it, and again, you're intoxicated, you're not using your normal judgment, you can do that. So plan ahead. Look at having someone else drive you, getting an Uber or a Lyft or some other ride share to be able to take you home. Plan about that stuff ahead of time if you're thinking about getting intoxicated.
Yeah,
and limit the number of drinks that you kind of set for yourself. You know, you put the limit at 0. Some people could tolerate possibly 1 and have a blood alcohol level that's maybe 0.4, well below the legal intoxication.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're drinking 2 or 3 drinks in an hour and then you think you're going to go to another party, you're in trouble already. You're in trouble.
You really are. And as you say, you can't bring back someone from the dead. But nonetheless, you know, there are a lot of holiday events this time of year, and we want people to have a good time and enjoy themselves. So if you just kind of follow some of these rules, you can still have a good time at these parties, Dr. Beecroft, right?
Sure, you're seeing people that you haven't seen maybe all year or for a couple of years. You can play games with them. You could be able to there's all kinds of things that you can do at a party without having to be intoxicated to do them. So in that sense, you know, thinking about that ahead of time, maybe thinking about 5 or 8 things that you want to talk about that have been really exciting for you in your life. And if you meet 3 or 4 people, that's going to take you 2 or 3 hours to do.
Yeah.
So if you think about it that way, that really starts looking at being able to plan to have fun, not get drunk, to have fun.
Great advice today from Dr. William Beecroft, Medical Director of Behavioral Health at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. And for more health news and information, you can visit MIBluesPerspectives.com, MIBluesPerspectives.com from our friends at Blue Cross. And it really is startling. More than half, 56% of people seriously or fatally injured in accidents on the road tested positive for alcohol or some type of drug known to have potentially impairing effects.